You're listening to the Champions Rugby Show with me, Martin Hindley, as we celebrate 25 years of what is now the Heineken Champions Cup. This episode is a double Martin edition, as I'm joined by a legend of Welsh rugby and, of course, the Cardiff Blues.
Williams is after this! They need an early bit of luck and bunch to the Blues, and
he's one of the greatest players ever to wear the Blues jersey. He helped the club to win their first European trophy and the first for a Welsh region in 2010. He has over 100 Wales caps and he's even received an MBE for his service to the sport. Joining me today to discuss his European Cup story is Martin Williams.
Cheers, Martin. Thanks very much.
Thanks so much for being with us today, Martin. And how are you finding this this current difficult time?
Yeah, good morning, Martin. Yeah, it is very strange. Yeah, look, we're coping. The hardest, most difficult thing for me is trying to keep three children occupied, and homeschooling wasn't quite cut out for that, if I'm honest. But between us, between my eldest daughter, who's 17, she teaches my middle boy, who's 13. And then we've got a youngest who's seven, who me and the wife are sharing sort of responsibilities with the youngest one then. So look, there's people in a lot bigger issues than us at the minute, so we can't complain.
Of course, many people in sport are taking the opportunity to look back at things that either made them fall in love with the sport or things that they enjoyed so much. With you still being so close to the sport, have you ever really looked back at what you've achieved and allowed it to sink in?
No, not really. I think, you know, life moves at 100 miles an hour, doesn't it? Like, particularly when you're playing, you certainly don't really have time to reflect. I think once you've retired, have stayed involved in some way, shape or form of the game, in obviously doing commentary and a bit of punditry on TV. Now I've recently taken up the role as team manager with the Welsh team. So it's just been, I haven't really had time. It's, like you say, it's at times like this really where there's been a lot of sort of, you're on quite a few text messages and WhatsApp messages about old games you played in have been rerun on TV. So you don't really sit back and reflect too much. But I suppose what this has done over the last 3-4 weeks, you probably more than ever they have, really.
Now, the Heineken Champions Cup has been running for 25 years. You were involved right at the very start, really. I mean, taking your mind back to that kind of time, what did you expect from European rugby at what was a strange time in the sport, sort of the move towards professionalism and all of that kind of thing? But what did you expect from playing in a European Cup of rugby?
Yeah, it was a real unknown, really, wasn't it, when the concept started? And I look back at it, I think, if I remember rightly, I haven't got any of the stats in front of me, I think I was playing with Pontypridd, you know, my hometown at the time. And I'm pretty sure our first group were Milan and Leinster. And we weren't quite sure what to expect. But I remember going to, you know, just shows how far the game has come in Ireland, really. I remember going to play Leinster and Lansdowne Road for Pontypridd, and I was sat on the bench for that game. I was only 19, 20 years old. And I think there were more subs than actual crowd that day in Lansdowne Road. It was just no one there watching. So we weren't quite sure where this was going to work. Obviously, the Welsh League at the time for us, you know, was the biggest thing from Pontypridd point of view. The Heineken Cup was sort of an afterthought at that time. There were no English teams in there. They hadn't joined. So it was a real sort of interesting dynamic, and it's incredible how far the competition has come in such a short space of time, and how quickly, from our club point of view and players' point of view, how I think after the first year we weren't quite sure what to expect, but the European Cup became incredibly important for a small town like Pontypridd, and you know, we made so many memories in that competition.
How did it change the area and the community to be welcoming international visitors, international clubs to Pontypridd? Was there did it start to become a sense of excitement kind of days?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, for 20, 30 years, you know, you looked at sort of Cardiff coming down to Pontypridd or Newport or Swansea, you know, the big city clubs. And we were always sort of the underdogs, you know, in that sense. But then all of a sudden you've got these sort of European aristocrats coming, you know, to Pontypridd. It really did. You know, as a young kid growing up in Pontypridd and coming through the youth system, and, you know, I've been lucky enough to play then, and just obviously living in the town, just everywhere you went, everybody was talking about Heineken Cup. And, you know, we were, like you say, we found our feet early on in the competition. It was quite new. And then the year we were drawn against Bath and Brive in the same group was, you know, pretty incredible. Two teams, I think Brive had won it the year before, obviously Bath the biggest club really in England at the time. So to be drawn against those two an hour and have them come into the little town in just at the doorstep of the valleys really in Pontypridd was pretty incredible. And yeah, it was. Those weeks were pretty magical and a fantastic experience for us to be involved in.
Many people see Cardiff as the tournament's spiritual home because the first final obviously was Cardiff RFC and Toulouse in the Arms Park, and then Brive, as you mentioned, beat Leicester there as well. And you had a quarter final playoff with Pontypridd out in Brive when they were the holders and pushed them all the way at a time when going to France was perhaps a very feisty and very different experience. I mean, what do you remember about push? Not just meeting those sort of heavyweights, but going toe to toe with them in Europe's premier competition.
Yeah, very. Yeah, you remember the playoff. Not many people remember that playoff game, Martin. They all remember the first game for the massive brawl and the arrests afterwards. So yeah. That's anybody who watches that game back, the very first Pontypridd Brive game out in Brive, just. Absolute carnage, really. But it was, as a young player, it was an unbelievable experience to go and play in, out in the south of France at the time when you say nobody would really put up a fight when they went down there, and they were used to sort of, the French teams were used to teams just turning up at their home ground and sort of surrendering, where our psyche anyway in Pontypridd was anything but that. We were going down there to try and win. So I think they shocked them initially that, what is this little club coming down here and trying to put up a fight. And unfortunately, in the first game, we put up a fight in more ways than one, and it got a little bit out of hand, during the game and afterwards. But the buzz around the town then when they came for the reverse game up in Pontypridd and Silas Road, it was absolutely, this all that was in the press in Wales and in the town doing that game. We managed to draw that game. And then, yeah, coincidentally, in those days, I think there was a playoff, wasn't it? Who to get into the quarterfinals? And we had to go back down to the south of France and play them again and just come up short in that one. So, as a young player, and even the older players, a lot of the older players who'd been at the club for 10 years, Pontypridd, this was their first sort of experience of European rugby. And I know they loved every minute of it. And it's, like you say, even though I was lucky enough, I was at Pontypridd for 4 or 5 years. Those memories are hold them up as much as any throughout my career.
How did they help you? As you said, you were a very young man when you were playing in the early stages of the Heineken Cup. How did those experiences build you up ready for the move that you were to make in 1999 to Cardiff?
It's helped me immeasurably. I think, going up against the best, in Europe, really, Bath was littered with, just international players throughout, your Gus Scott, your Andy Robinson's, Jason Robinson, Henry Paul, they were all there. So to go up against them, the French had players like Olivier Manier, Le Maison, Carbonneau. So you're up against international players. You play against, when you're playing your club game in your domestic league, you're up against, back in those days, you're up against internationals from your own country, but very rarely would you play against, internationals from other countries. So I think in a meaningful competition. So at the start of my career, it was an absolutely invaluable experience to come up against, not world-class players and in a real proper tournament. So I've been 20, 21, 22 years of age. And, I think that's what the Heineken Cup does. It's a different level. You're playing with, as great as it is as well to play, international rugby. I think, you're playing virtually international rugby level with your mates who you train in with day in, day out. So, yeah. And from us, from a Pontypridd point of view, like you say, we're a little town. We're a tiny little town. So to be able to go up against, these big cities and, with huge budgets and huge traditions and what have you. It was good. We put the town on the map as well, which is just as important from that side of things as well.
Well, 7 of the 24 finals of what is now the Heineken Champions Cup have taken place in Cardiff. But in terms of lifting the trophy, probably with the Cardiff Blues side of 2008-09, you were probably the closest in terms of sort of Llanelli being in a couple of semi-finals as a Scarlets latterly as well. But let's go back to that 2008-09 season. And I suppose it had been building up to a really, really strong group of players that the Cardiff Blues had back then. What made that team so strong?
Yeah, I just think balance. We had, Di Young and Bob Norster, Di Young, the head coach, and Bob Norster, the CEO, and Peter Thomas, the chairman, had made some really shrewd signings in the couple of years leading up to that. Xavier Rush was an immense signing for us from the Auckland Blues in 2005. You know, we had it that Paul Tito came over then, Ben Blair from the Crusaders. So the overseas players we signed, a top draw. And it just coincided as well with some incredible academy talent coming through, Lee Halfpenny, Jamie Roberts, Bradley Davis. And then you had some, you know, guys who were probably at the peak of their, you know, Gethin Jenkins, Tom Shanklin, maybe myself then. So we had a real unbelievable blend. 2 or 3 years, we didn't win the Heineken Cup, unfortunately, but we went into every competition thinking we could win it because we had such a strong squad.
The pool stage that year, Cardiff were the only side to win all six matches, and you beat some heavyweights in there as well. Gloucester home and away, Biarritz, who would make the next Heineken Cup final home and away, and then to lose in the quarterfinals. At the time, three-time Heineken Cup winners. How big an achievement was it to get over the line in such a tense match, 9-6 there? And what do you remember about that sensational day?
It's obviously they moved the game actually to the Millennium Stadium that day because of obviously it was a big, big game to lose, like you say, Dusa Twazia, Byron Kellers, Freddie Mishlax, you know, an unbelievable group of players. And so demand was so high, they moved the game to the Millennium, and just remember being unbelievably physical, intense game. You know, they had the sort of Toulouse, the pedigree, didn't they? They knew how to win the big knockout games. For us, it was a little bit, it was our first quarter final at that level, so we weren't quite sure what, you know, how to go about things. But I think the score was 9-6, which is says it all really, how physical and how competitive it was. And it was just, you know, I just remember the physical battle, really, with the French. You always get that with the French pack, but they were littered with French internationals. So to come through that was a big, big statement from our group. To beat Biarritz home and away, we beat Gloucester with 14 men away from home playing for an hour when Tom James got sent off. So, yeah, I think we'd done the hard graft, really, in the quarterfinal, in the group stages. So we set ourselves up nicely. Just a turnover to lose was such a big team at the time. It was a huge effort by everybody.
Well, that win meant that you had 11 wins from 11 in cup matches that season. You went on to beat Gloucester again in the final of the EDF Energy Cup. As well as the skills of the players that you referred to and mentioned there, was there a mentality that Dai Young had built there that made the team really set up for knockout rugby?
Yeah, I think at the time we were putting more emphasis, I won't lie to you, on particularly on the Heineken Cup. Then sort of the league, Dai took a conscious decision really that, you know, the Heineken Cup was the be all and end all. That's the one thing we wanted to win. So we sort of used the league as in preparation for the Heineken Cup. So for us, definitely, I think the way we managed, and you could just sense with the overseas players as well, you know, that the Heineken Cup was the thing that really got their juices flowing. That's why they wanted to come over to the Northern Hemisphere. You know, like you say, we did really, really well on the EDF, which was the Anglo-Welsh competition. And yeah, the results to win 11 in a row just shows how well set up we were for those cup games.
Now, perhaps a match that was memorable for very different reasons. If we go to the semi-final that year against Leicester Tigers on the 3rd of May 2009, history was made, 26 all after extra time against the Leicester Tigers, a match that would be decided by a shootout. I'm sure that you've discussed it a million times, but what are your memories of that semi-final 11 years on?
Do you know, a disappointment, as in, obviously for the missed kick and what have you, but just as disappointed in, I think, you know, we really felt that was our year, and we felt, like you say, we'd beaten Toulouse at home. We'd done everything in the group stages to get ourselves a home quarter-final and a home semi-final. I think when I look back at that, you know, we obviously, me missing the kick was a big, big thing, but I don't think Leicester were a very streetwise team, and they were sort of, we didn't play as well as we could have in that semi-final, and that's still the frustrating thing that everything was in our favour, really. You know, we had a full strength squad playing in the Millennium Stadium again, and we just didn't quite play to our potential, which is always a frustrating thing. So similar to Toulouse, they obviously the pedigree, they'd been to semi-finals, they'd, you know, had players who'd won the Heineken Cup before. This was very new ground for us, and I think they handled the occasion a lot better. And I remember they were just sort of, I think particularly up front as well, probably they had one over on us, you know, throughout the game, and they were out of sight 26-12. And you know, we just showed the character of our team, really, just to dig in and, you know, scored two unbelievable tries at the end. I think it was Jamie Roberts scored one and Tom James scored an absolutely unbelievable try.
Ellis is on for Leicester now. Roberts is going again. Oh, he's got the pace for it.
from Tom James. Richard Cockrell cannot believe it. It is pure Welsh magic.
And then Ben Blair, who I mentioned earlier, you know, our New Zealand fullback, just two sensational goal line kicks, conversions to take us into extra time. So just a bizarre, bizarre day out. Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. So, but I think that, obviously I'm disappointed we lost and I missed the kick, but the frustration still is that I really think that could have been our year.
How do you mentally prepare as a group of players for something as random in rugby as being deciding a shootout by penalties?
I don't think you can. As far as I'm aware, and I've been asked this a lot since, I cannot recollect us talking about that in the week, you know, during the game. It just wasn't, you know, I think, you know, if you're a football team and you're going into a semi-final, quarter-final, wherever the Champions League, you know there's a big possibility of a penalty shootout at the end of it. But in rugby, it never happened. So that wasn't something we'd prepared for that week. It wasn't something, as far as I'm aware, we'd spoken about. So the game just went on. Like you say, we got unbelievable drama at the end of normal time, going into extra time, which was a little bit unheard of as well. You know, extra time very rarely happened in rugby. And yeah, just the, you know, you're just thinking at the time, something's bound to happen in extra time for one of these teams to win it. And I still chuckle now. I do think Alan Rowland gave a kickable penalty throughout the extra time. He didn't be the man to make the decision. So correct me if I'm wrong, Martin, but I don't think any points were scored in the extra time.
That's exactly right, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, that was just strange, yeah. Just, it was a pretty warm day, and I remember just being like, absolutely exhausted at the end of it all. And then, obviously, it was, you know, make no bones about it, it was a bit chaotic at the end because none of us knew what was next, really.
This would be the cruelest thing, if Martin Williams was to miss it. A brilliant footballer. I say Martin Williams gets it. Let's see it now. Martin Williams! He doesn't get it! Leicester have a shot for the final themselves now. Martin Williams, of all people. Jordan Crane for glory here. He looks at the posts. He looks to Edinburgh. He can see Edinburgh. And there is simply no keeping Leicester.
In European club rugby history, we've seen that normally you have to lose a big one to win a big one. And I just wonder what the experience of that day at the Millennium Stadium did to power the following season's win, when, to all intents and purposes, you won the Challenge Cup, the first Welsh region to lift a European piece of silverware. And you did it basically in an away match in front of 50,000 in Marseille, against Toulon, who were at the start of their real incline. I mean, did it have an impact, sort of that near missing, galvanising the team and getting you over the line to that trophy?
Yeah, it's probably subconsciously, yeah. It's not something, obviously, we were, when we lost to, I think it was Toulouse, knocked us out of the group the following year in the main competition. I think we came up against them in the group stages and we, you know, we finished runners up to them, we lost away, and then you dropped down, obviously, it was the days you dropped down into the Amling Cup, as it was then. And I can just remember, look, you guys, it's not really where we want to be, if we're honest, but, you know, let's go on and win it. So I think we had, at the time, we had to play three away games. We had Newcastle away in the quarterfinals, then Wasps away in the semi-final, and then Toulon away in the final in Marseille, like you say, which was an incredible experience. You speak to any of the, you know, the Cardiff Blues fans now, is still a highlight, a lot of them who went down that day. So it's a nice achievement to have won that Amling Cup, and, you know, you don't want to downplay that in any way, shape or form, because I think it was more special because of where we won it and how we won it. But I still think that team, when you look at that team sheet that day, it was a team that should have been, you know, in the main competition fighting out the semi-finals or final there.
Is there still a feeling of massive pride that you were part of Wales' first trophy for the regions in European club rugby? And obviously there's been a second one since in Bilbao against Gloucester, and another thriller of a match a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it's a fond memory, there's no doubt about that. It still rankles with me. It's still, I was lucky, I played for a long time and quite successful and won a few things, but the one biggest regret of my life is not winning the Heineken Cup. You know, I think, and I felt our team was good enough, you know, for a three-year period, the Blues definitely was good enough, but we didn't get there. But yeah, I suppose it's, like you mentioned, I spoke about there, the fact that where we won and how we won that Amling Cup final will always be a special day and a special, special memory to go down to, you know, Marseille, 50,000 for all intents and purposes, Toulon fans. Johnny Wilkinson was there, Sonny Bill Williams. It was at the start, as you very well say, of their sort of dynasty. But it is, yeah, you know, still for some reason, there's a Welsh region, as a Welsh club, we haven't been able to win the Heineken Cup. So I suppose it is a sense of pride, really, that from a Welsh point of view, the Blues are the only ones to lift some sort of European trophy.
And Cardiff still throwing bodies on top of the ball, and they've won the ball. They know what they've got to do from here, and they've just got to smash the ball out of play, and it's a European trophy at last for the Principality.
You've achieved so much in the game. What would you say is your legacy in terms of European club rugby tournaments, your legacy and your greatest memories?
Unfortunately, I think my legacy is the missed kick. Unfortunately, I'm not sure. I think I played 80-odd games for, you know, in the Heineken Cup. And I've never thought about it that way, my legacy. I love playing in those games. I have so many good memories. You know, like you mentioned, everybody remembers sort of that semi-final for the Blues and the Amlin final. But, you know, great days like the Pontypridd-Brive battles. We had three games with them back in 96-97, beating Bath at home for Pontypridd. And, you know, the Cardiff then going down to Biarritz in the mud, and a game nobody else remembers apart from those who played in it. I think we beat Biarritz 10-6 in an absolute monsoon. So just unbelievable memories to travel around Europe. You know, going to Calvisano as well was... with Jonah Lomu on your side, and just seeing, you know, what a superstar he was. You know, the crowds we had in Calvisano, which obviously in Italy wouldn't normally be a big hotbed of rugby, but just playing a team with Jonah was an incredible experience as well. So yeah, you look back and I loved every minute. I still think now, when it gets to Heineken Cup weekends, even now as an on player, it's very difficult to pull yourself away from the TV for 72 hours with all the games and the cultures and the different sort of styles of games as well that different countries play. So it's an incredible competition. I'm just privileged to be part of it.
We're really enjoying this walk back down memory lane in European club rugby tournaments with Martin Williams. Now we're just going to park the Heineken Champions Cup for a moment and break off for a quick fire quiz. It's going to be on nicknames. But before we start that, Martin, can you explain yours, the Nugget? Where does it come from? And I suppose, how did it all come about?
Not quite sure, really. It's just something that started in school when I was around 8 or 9. Those days, a nice mop of ginger hair. So whether it's come from Nugget, and I was quite nuggety, I suppose, when I was playing sports. So I just think it's stuck from them, you know, my close mates, my best mates from around the Pontypridd area, and it's just stuck from there. Yeah, very few people call me Martin. It is Nugget that everyone speaks and calls me by.
We've got a couple of quick fire questions on a couple of other rugby nicknames. Let's see how you get on with these. What is Wales and former Lions skipper Sam Warburton's nickname?
Apart from Warby, is it Avatar?
Avatar from James Cameron's film. Yeah, Warburton said that.
I can't remember which one of the players gave him that, but I think it was through his distinct nose and features, Warby. So, yeah, and he does actually look like one of them, doesn't he? So, yeah.
former England flanker Lewis Moody.
Oh, Moodos would be Mad Dog, wouldn't he? Because
Mad Dog.
Mad Dog. Just no sort of care in his own body, is he? Just Mad Dog just sums him up well, in fairness. Gentleman off the field.
Absolutely fearless. Former Swansea flanker Alan Reynolds.
I know it's Santa, but I've got no idea why it's Santa. That's going back a few years as well. That is
apparently nothing to do with Christmas, but because his parents kept the Santa Clara pub. Apparently,
is that right?
Yeah. And former England prop Duncan Bell.
Oh, you got me there. I don't know what Duncan Bell looked like. He joined Pontypridd just as I left to go to Cardiff, so. Well, and I wouldn't know what Duncan Bell's nickname is.
It's probably too straightforward, in fairness. It's Ding Dong. So three out of four ain't bad, though, I think.
I'll take that.
That's fair to say. Look, we've disturbed you from your current role as the Welsh rugby team manager. You were appointed in November. Whilst the current pause has probably been quite frustrating for you, how are you finding that and still being involved so closely, as well as the punditry that you touched upon doing? How are you enjoying being back in the dressing room?
Yeah, I've loved every minute of it. It's been obviously with what's happened recently, it's been a little bit of a curveball thrown in, but straight in at the deep end, really, straight after. Although I was sort of appointed in November, I didn't start until January the 1st, and, 3 weeks later, I entered Six Nations. So it was a real learning, steep learning curve, but I loved every minute of it, just being around, like you say, the players against a completely different role. If I'm honest, they have very little to do with the rugby and more sort of logistics and planning, but just to be around the players, they're an amazing group of players as well, this Welsh group at the minute. So just, they work so hard, very humble. Didn't quite have the results we wanted, but, it's always going to be a transition period. So, yeah, I think it's just an absolute privilege to be back involved with the Welsh team again and the Welsh setup. Great coach, and obviously knew a lot of the coaching staff, like Neil Jenkins, Stephen Jones, John Humphreys. Played a lot with those guys, so familiar faces there. Wayne Pivac, the head coach, I didn't know as well. But very thankful that he gave me the call to come on board. So, yeah, as a group, we're just sorting the plan now. There's obviously nobody's quite sure what the next sort of 12 months is going to entail. But we're just busy sort of behind the scenes now, just logistically looking at a few options. But it's been, I've loved the first couple of months, really have.
And having a Rugby World Cup 2019 in Japan on the world feed with the television, that must have been pretty special as well, the experiences there for 6 to 7 weeks.
Oh, it was an incredible experience, to be there for 7 weeks and to have the privilege, really, to go right the way through and, do the final. It was an epic competition, did some incredible games that live long in the memory. So the Japan-Scotland game comes to mind, where they qualified for the quarterfinals, to be there for the England-New Zealand game as well. Even as a Welshman, you had to enjoy that. It was an incredible performance by the English, and then see South Africa. So yeah, it was, that was like being on a rugby tour. There's a group of you, there were 50 of us travelling around Japan. Unbelievable experience, some fantastic people worked with there. So in many ways, it was nice. I couldn't think of a more fitting way to go out, really, and finish sort of the TV stuff, before I started my manager's role. So yeah, real privilege to be part of that group for that 2019 World Cup.
Well, it's been an absolute privilege to relive your story with what is now the Heineken Champions Cup, having been there from the very, very start and still with so much to offer in rugby with the Welsh national team. The very best of luck with it all, and thank you for joining us, Martin. It's been a real treat.
Cheers, Martin. Thanks very much.
Great to catch up with Martin Williams, who was there at the very start of what is now the Heineken Champions Cup. Superb to reminisce about Pontypridd's early European adventures at Sardis Road and beyond, about that kick in the historic 2009 semi-final and becoming the first Welsh region to lift European silverware with Cardiff Blues. Please subscribe to our Champions Rugby Show podcast and give us a positive review if you liked it. And let us know which players you want to come on the show next to share their Heineken Champions Cup stories. From me and all the team, until next time, goodbye.